A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Well, I'm George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros got swept by the Atlanta Braves. They are off today. Justin Verlander returns tomorrow on the mound as they take on the Washington Nationals. But the PR spin is in full force. Once again.
We need the day off more than the Astros need the day off.
Thought about today.
Not just because of how bad they've been on the field, but also because, Joe, I just don't want to hear them talk. I don't want to hear a word from their mouths.
Yeah, it really started with Reggie Jackson. We'll go back in time a little bit first. Obviously, Reggie Jackson does the podcast. I guess it goes back to last year because Jeff Bagwell was pushing this stuff last year about Jose Abreu with the back of the baseball card. And then Reggie Brown does the interview.
Dana Brown.
Reggie Jackson does an interview where he doesn't say back of the baseball card, but he kind of exposes what the front office, you know, what their philosophies are, how they're operating, how they are bringing in free agents,
He made it seem like there's a cabal of Hall of Famers that are very hands-on with the Houston Astros, perhaps more hands-on than general manager Dana Brown.
Yeah, so that kind of starts it, and then Joe Espada, Jeff Bagwell, Dana Brown, since then, have all wanted to tell us how important the back of a baseball card is. Whether it's Jose Abreu or Josh Hader. And then we go back to Jose Abreu. Because here was Joe Espada, after yesterday's game, once again talking about the exact same thing.
History, you know, the back of his baseball card. You know, he can do it.
He can do it. Back of the baseball card. He can do it.
I'm trying to figure out if the Astros are trolling us, because it's hard to maintain success in anything, especially in sports. We all know there will be a day where the Houston Astros are not this version of the Houston Astros. And we're hoping that this year is not the year where that happens. But with the words that are coming out of all the mouths, Joe, that you just outlined, it feels like the Astros are transforming from a blockbuster action franchise, the movie world, to a franchise that's trying to be funny. A lot of inside jokes.
Ooh, okay. What movie franchise are the Houston Astros?
Well, how about Marvel? You know how every Marvel scene, the comedy that they force in, it's like, huh, man, I'm so glad we're done with this person. Oh, wait, he's right behind me.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of, I guess, the Astros version of it where, well, Jose Abreu really looks done. But, oh, the back of his baseball card, though, it's right behind me, huh? Like, that's what I'm getting with them, because they're doing this so much, it really does feel like they're screwing with us. It's kind of funny,
but
they're losing so much. So I guess this is wishful thinking, is that I want all these people, arrogant people in the Astros organization, to be having fun with us. A little early season inside joke.
I hope it's that. That would be best case scenario, wouldn't it? That they're just trolling on purpose? Like, you mentioned that one day the success would end. We all knew that. But at the same time, what you had is, in the near future, Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker, Framber Valdez all leaving this organization, right? We all know it's coming. But on paper, you still were always going to have a lot of talent. And you still had Yainer Diaz and Yordan Alvarez and Jose Altuve and these guys. And like, the window to me was never really going to shut. And I'm not saying it's shut now. It's definitely not. But the start of the season it's jarring because it's so bad. And I I don't really understand.
Well, it's not like they're getting outscored by a ton of runs. You know, like they're losing a lot of close games. They've had some disastrous moments, and certain players are really struggling. They could have won a lot of these games, though. The problem is they're just getting absolutely killed in late inning situations. They're outscored 31-4 thus far from the seventh inning on.
Yeah, and it's just not it's not good enough. Like, because and the thing is too is it's also not like it's thank you, Michael Carroll, bringing me coffee, best person in the business, and my debit card. Thank you for bringing that back too.
You're welcome, sir.
But it's part of it is that it's a different person every day. Like that's what's the biggest red flag a little bit, which I know we're going to get into more in the next segment about biggest concerns, is it's like it's a different person's broken every day. But they're really trying this PR spin. And I honestly, I don't know if it's for us or for them. And honestly, the more I think about it, I think it's for them, Paul. I think that this PR spin is for them because they know the truth. They know the truth is that Jose Abreu is never going to be good at baseball again on a consistent basis. It's probably not going to be like this bad forever. I can't imagine.
Oh, God, it'd be worse. He's batting .078.
I mean, he's below his number. How are you below your number? That's terrible. But like, it's. I wonder if it's a message of just we're stuck. Like, we can't get rid of this guy because Jim Crane is not going to let us just DFA him, and we probably want to. But Jim Crane and Jeff Bagwell and Craig Biggio and Dana Brown and Reggie Jackson, this committee, are not going to admit that they are this wrong. That it's not yet. There's still a year and like 80% left of a deal. It is a tough deal that they're not going to get out of, and they're really stuck. And I think that this is more of a PR spin to themselves of just – it's one of those moments where like you just keep telling yourself that everything's going to be okay. You keep saying, like, we're going to be all right. He's going to figure it out, specifically with Jose Abreu. And they know the truth. They know the truth is that he's not. They know that the back of the baseball card's wrong, that it doesn't matter, that it's irrelevant. And he's just – he's cooked. And he's not the only problem. He's not why the Astros lost yesterday's game. Ryan Pressly's the reason why the Astros lost yesterday's game. Because apparently he can't handle not being a closer. Josh Hader is the reason why they lost the day before.
And Josh Hader can't pitch past the ninth inning because that's not his job for Joe Espada, even though he's making $95 million.
Bad
contract.
Let's
put in Seth Martinez with a runner on second in the 10th inning. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he'll be able to keep the Braves and that awesome lineup of theirs at bay. Oh, wait.
So the back of the baseball card's one way to handle this, Paul. That's one direction they've taken. Now, there's a couple other options they have. So we're going to play two options here for you. And okay. I want to know which one that you would prefer. We'll start with... Oh, Sean's on the phone right now, so I don't want to bother him. We'll talk about Alex Bregman first. Alex Bregman was meeting with the media yesterday, and he seemed down. He seemed sad. That's the only way I can describe it.
Going through a little depression, huh?
He just seemed like he had been defeated. Sean, are we good to play that audio? It is just one of those things with Alex Bregman where I heard him talk and I heard a man that sounded...
You need Zoloft?
Defeated.
Oh.
He sounded frustrated. Here's Alex Bregman yesterday after the game and discussing the recent struggles of the Houston Astros.
I think it just... all that matters is... execution on the field, preparation prior to the game, and winning.
Does it seem like you've had no margin for error in these close games this year in terms of in the field at the plate?
I just think we haven't executed well in all phases of the game.
I know last year you guys used a lot of team meetings last year when stuff went kind of south. Is now a time to bring the team together and just kind of have a meeting, or do you feel like it's there yet?
I think guys here know that we need to execute better and play better as a team and in all facets of the game. And
team meeting. Chandler asked about team meetings. Is it time for a team meeting?
It's always time for a team meeting.
It's always time. Now, look, the Angels had to have a team meeting after the second game of the season. So the Astros aren't to that point yet. Now, the Angels have won a lot more baseball games.
The Angels are further up in the AL West than the Houston Astros. So clearly the team meeting is a better idea than no team meeting.
Yeah.
Who's even going to call the team meeting without Martín Maldonado?
Great point.
Does anyone know how to run a team meeting?
What does Alex Bregman know about? He's never been a successful baseball player.
Right. Do you need a PowerPoint? Do you need to have a written speech? Got to keep it 3 minutes or less.
Like it's a wedding speech.
It's gotta be like a wedding speech.
I've known Jose Altuve for a long time.
You can't drone on and on and on here. Yeah, I'm game for the team meeting.
I think I'm game for the team meeting too.
I don't think he sounds depressed. I think that's just typical low energy Alex Bregman fielding questions.
Okay,
that's annoying.
Fair.
After a loss,
right.
It's fair.
He's not the most enigmatic person in front of a microphone.
That's true.
So I'm not hearing that this man needs a little Zoloft in his life.
I mean, they're asking on the Twitch if he turned into Bill Belichick, because that's what it reminded me of.
Well, hey, Bill Belichick, the biggest winner ever.
Bill Belichick.
Until Robert Kraft stopped
him
from getting another job. Yeah.
And then there's another way you could handle, you know, post-game interaction and how you feel after defeat. Here is Tampa Bay Rays pitcher Peter Fairbanks, after getting smoked yesterday.
Was it just a matter of command, location, selection, anything specific? No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So,
love it.
You know, we're going to try and rectify that, but for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
I can't the answer. I like that. I like that answer.
I do like the piss and vinegar. It would
all around suck.
It would at the very least make us feel like we're alive, right? Because you compare that to the way that Bregman answered that question. And Bregman, look, he's actually been on a winning baseball team. So there's totally a reason for him to be low energy as someone who's been to 7 straight ALCS. This is not as big of a deal to the Astros as it would be to other teams. But we all would like to hear the guy get a little mad. You've got to get mad. You've got to get angry. Like that crazy guy in the TV show, or the movie Network. You ever seen that one?
I have seen that, yes.
Back in the 1970s, I lost his mind.
I'll tell you how my brain's working today. Currently, I'm trying to also at the same time think of what movie franchise the Astros are. Right now, I'm landing on Transformers because I like the Marvel movies more than you do. The Transformers started strong. And then became a total disaster.
Well, Transformers 1 was good, and the rest of them are debatable.
I like 2 and 3.
Wild. No. Mm. And they got rid of Megan Fox because Michael Bay was going Greg Doyle on her.
Can't wait to talk about that. I can't wait to hear your takes on Greg Doyle. Well, I just like gut feeling feel like you are going to have strong takes.
Listen, I mean, look, the questions Greg Doyle asked, not the best. But I think more than anything, he's got to get rid of the soul patch. What is that?
Bregman shaved again yesterday. What's
up? Josh Beckett thing.
Alex Bregman needs to figure out what he's doing with his facial hair.
No, it's fine.
This reminds me when he shaved his mustache in the middle of a game. Remember that? Or I don't know if you were in Seattle at the time when that happened, but
I do remember that.
Yeah, he was struggling. So mid-game, he shaved his stash. The other day, he had a goatee. Now there's no goatee.
Blondes don't grow great mustaches.
Fair.
Yeah.
They do not.
They don't grow great
so mustaches. So the PR crisis, like that's the thing. This is clearly, do you feel like this is planned? Like, do you think like they're all, or
definitely planned. They definitely sat down and because either one, they don't trust the guys that are there to actually speak on this without revealing some unfortunate honesty, or B, they think this is a good idea, and that concerns me if that's the case, where they think that this is a good idea. Let's all say that the back of the baseball card is what you got to focus on. May 2nd of last year with Jeff Bagwell. Last week with Dana Brown on Abreu. This week, yesterday, Brown on Hader. Joe Espada on Abreu. They're saying it over and over again to the point where either one, they feel like the people that work in this organization are like Deshaun Watson and need bullet points to go back to. Watson, remember last year, I've never assaulted, never disrespected, and never harassed any woman in my life. I can't speak on anything because there's an ongoing investigation, but when I can, I'll talk about it. He kept on saying that over and over and over again. It's one of those two things. But here's the problem along the way. Either intentionally or unintentionally, the Astros are showing zero respect to you, to me. They are showing zero respect because they think that this is a passable answer. And it's not.
It's not. But that's why I can't tell if it's planned or if it's parroting. Because that, I think, is those are two different things, right? Where it's like, I don't, like, if there's a team meeting amongst the council and PR staff of like, hey, look, Jose Abreu sucks ass. Like, we're just going to continuously back of the baseball card. And then when other guys start to struggle, like Josh Hader and Ryan Pressly, we're probably also should just use the same line over and over again. And then maybe one day, like, people will believe us. Or if it's like you hear Jeff Bagwell say, and everyone's like, well, you know, let's just keep rolling.
Who thought that was a good idea? I that's my big issue, okay? Like, Joe, we don't get paid that much in radio, but there is somebody working for the Houston Astros who is being paid probably handsomely in the PR team to come up with that. That's the best they can do. Hire me. I can do that on the side. I can lie for you. I can think of something more creative than this. The back of the baseball card over and over and over again. Come on, guys. Listen, we're talking about a team that's been to 7 straight ALCS, that has been to 4 World Series, that has won 2 of them. And this, to me, is reflective of the organization perhaps taking a step backward. You know, forget the players on the field. Forget the roster construction. Forget the game management decisions. I'm just focusing on this. The PR, this is what they're choosing to do, is have a group huddle and say, okay, let's just talk about the back of the baseball cards until things figure themselves out. Come on! Give me a new lie every day. You're paid probably better than me. Figure it out. It's not that hard. It's not that hard to lie. It isn't. I don't do it because I'm a lot like George Washington. But it is not that hard to lie. And if you pay me to, I will. And I'll think of a better one than this. This is bad. It's so bad. Some key figures in this organization need a competence test.
Is the movie franchise Indiana Jones?
Ooh. Now,
because the problem is there's a lot where there's a lot of bad ones. This is really the first bad Astros season. You could maybe say 2020, but so that's also
but there's been two bad Indiana Jones movies.
But this is the Shia LaBeouf Indiana Jones.
The Shia LaBeouf character in that one was actually a good character.
I agree, but the movie was not good.
I honestly forgot about that one. Right. I just thought the one that came out this year was the fourth one.
I refuse to not watch the new one, even though they brought the Nazis back in.
But the reason I went with that one is because...
From commies to Nazis.
Was because, you know, Harrison Ford. Look, you know, the back of his baseball card looks good, but in 2023, I'm not sure if he's still an action star.
King of all Twitches is saying Godfather franchise. That's true. Part 3, I've never seen. I'm told I should never see it.
Yeah, it was tough. I had never seen it until the pandemic, and they put it on Netflix. And
Al Pacino,
I watched
back of his baseball card.
Yeah, I watched all 3 in one
day. Just when I thought I was in, they pulled me back out.
Josh Hader's Andy Garcia.
Can I just pick the Irishman as like the characters that were in the Irishman? The back of all their baseball cards are incredible. But the Irishman, that movie sucked.
If you just treat it as the sequel to Goodfellas, then yes, I guess you did.
Like, all the characters in the Irishman, you're like, dude, this is a great cast. And then you see the movie, and it's 3 hours, 4.5 hours long, whatever it is.
Wow, Ray Romano's in this?
It's tough. All right, 713-780-3776. Gary, we'll get... Gary's gone. 713-780-3776.
Sean, was it the Gary...
Gary called
back. This is again, Dell did the same thing where he asked me if a caller was the same. I don't know. I don't know what any of them sound like.
Don't know what Gary sounds like?
No.
Gary is very specific. Gary brings race into everything, and it's like actually impressive.
He just wanted to talk about the Astros.
Okay. It wasn't that Gary.
I don't know.
All right. What concerns you the most about what's going on right now? Because there's still positives. My sources tell me there might be a positivity minister appearing on the show later today. But what concerns you the most about the Astros? That's next on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
From the 346, feels like there was a long stretch of stench last year, too, becoming a habit. Yeah, I think that's fair. After when you got swept by the Yankees, you have the series in which you get swept by the Royals, you struggle versus the A's at the end of the season. Yes, you sweep the Diamondbacks at the end of the year, right, to win the division. But that's really when the stench is fair, really started. and then it went into the playoffs, because that's the last 2 months of the season's really when they started to push the narrative about the batter's eye. That's really what it was. Like, the back of the baseball card was a thing last year, but really the big one was mostly the batter's eye. Well, they eliminated that issue, so now they've come up with this issue.
The batter's eye at least makes sense. Referring to the back of a baseball card for a guy who was approaching 40, no matter how good his career has been in the past, is crazy. It's as if you're ignoring the concept of, you know, time, which is real.
We just don't know how old he is either. he's falling off a cliff. Like, it's a steep cliff. This isn't like this is like, I'm seeing how many movie references we can get in today. This is like Mufasa falling off a cliff. Like, that's
spoiler.
Who's
Scar?
Spoiler alert.
Who's Scar Kirk. Throwing him off the cliff? Long live the king.
Joey Loperfido? John Singleton? I guess they haven't thrown him off yet.
Yeah, no, he's still hanging on the cliff.
Everyone would root for Scar this time around.
I will say, if we're going through this metaphor, the wildebeest are stampeding.
Yeah.
We are Simba.
Simba is still in danger.
Yes.
We're Simba.
Yeah. And Mufasa, Jose Abreu, is holding on for dear life.
So does that
at
mean,
this point.
Does that mean that we need to just say Hakuna Matata and completely ignore the Houston Astros?
I think that's what back of the baseball card is.
It means no worries for the rest of your days. No. Because again, we're all low-key rooting for Scar to win here, because we all kind of want we want Jose Abreu to disappear. No, not like that. I'm not suggesting that. But we all would like to see less
of Jose Abreu.
Yeah. Jeremy Branham started a fundraiser, GoFundMe.
For a great cause.
It's for a great cause. It goes to the Houston Food Bank.
Oh, no. I thought it went to the rest of Jose Abreu's contract.
I mean, if we get the right amount of money, we could audible here.
I thought it was to buy him out.
Jose Abreu needs to be DFA'd. $39 million goal, $158 raised thus far.
Yep.
Four donations going straight to the Houston Food Bank. So, Jeremy Branham, trolling for a cause.
I do appreciate that.
Good man.
Yeah, it is a...
Shout out to TJ Jordan, Max Zapata, and Jeremy Branham, who donated $78, which is... If you didn't know that, Jose Abreu is average right now.
Now, my question to Jeremy, are you going to adjust how much you donate? Like, if Jose Abreu gets four hits tomorrow night, are you going to increase your donation? But then when he starts to suck again, are you going to take away your donation?
Also, he's
going to balance it?
He's hitting 078, is 078, right?
Yeah.
So that wouldn't that be 78 cents?
Yeah, but you can't do that to your own fundraiser.
Yeah, you can't do that to the food bank.
That should be 7.8 cents.
Yes, it would be.
Good point. All right. What concerns you the most about the Houston Astros in 2024 right now? The biggest thing for me is that they have all the pieces and they just can't figure out how to put it together.
Well, that's pretty vague though. That's everything. Is there a specific spot you're thinking of?
I think it's they can't play a complete baseball game as a team. So you get
it's baseball though. That doesn't happen. It's an individual sport.
But every single day it's like that. Where it's like you get production from your rotation and you get a little bit of production from your lineup and then your bullpen's a disaster.
Okay. So,
I'm thinking more big picture.
You're just the whole team isn't good the same day.
Yeah, like they can't consistently put it together. Specifically though, I'm gonna back off Jose Abreu for a second and I'm gonna target you, Ryan Pressly.
Oh,
because Ryan Pressly is supposed to be a key part of this team going forward. And Josh Hader is, I still believe, and he's going to be the closer. That's not going to change, right? Ryan Pressly, if this is a mental thing where he is struggling without the Johnny Cash and he's coming into the ninth inning, that problem is not being fixed by the Houston Astros. He will not be this closer, spoiler alert, for the Astros unless an injury happens to Josh Hader. So he has to figure out a way to be able to get outs when it's not the ninth inning. Because we know how great he can be. But
we talk about guys who are diminishing in skills, though. And I mean, isn't it fair to assume that Ryan Presley is running into the same problem as a Jose Abreu?
Mm-hmm.
He's just getting older and he's not as good. Happens to a lot of players. Not even going to hold it against Ryan Presley. More so, I take a look at just the contract that he's under and wonder about many of the contracts that the Astros are giving out to guys, because a lot of them just are bound to not age well.
Yeah, now Presley's contract, to me, it's not bad, because if this was the cliff for him to fall off of, you're out of it, right?
Like, but we were calling him Stresley last year.
No, you were. I mean, yeah, Junior Bronco said the same thing on the Twitch. Like, he started to break a little bit last year. I don't disagree.
I mean, that's part of the hater signing as well. Presley perhaps got a little bit of disrespect from the fans here, but moving him into this other role, which is obviously something that might be difficult for him, shouldn't be that difficult for him. You're still on one of the best teams in baseball,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, at least on paper. So I look at Presley, I don't think that's as much of an issue, because he's one of many guys in that bullpen. And I mean, for all of Presley's struggles, I got to give Rafael Montero a lot of credit. He's been really good this
year.
Big
time.
Now, my biggest issue, it's the lineup. I've said it a bunch of times. They are capable, more often than not, of scoring 8 runs or so. We saw it over the weekend against the Texas Rangers. And then these 3 games, 1 run, 1 run, 4 runs. They have been outscored 31-4 after the 7th inning. They were 2-for-9 with runners in scoring position yesterday. They were 4-for-24 with runners in scoring position over the course of the series. And yesterday, the 2 moments that really stunk, both involved Yiner Diaz and Jeremy Pena, mm-hmm. who were, for a time at least, off to really good starts. 5th inning, 2nd and 3rd, just 1 out. Yiner Diaz strikes out. Jeremy Pena grounds out. 10th inning, you got a runner on 1st and 2nd. Kyle Tucker walks. Diaz flies out. Pena double play. So they had a runner on 1st and 2nd to open up the 10th inning with 0 outs.
Mm-hmm.
And completely donezo right there. And that's not the back of the lineup. That's not Jose Abreu. That's not John Singleton. That's not Chaz McCormick. Guys who have been struggling. That is 2 guys that have actually gotten up to pretty good starts. I don't know how to explain why they're not good late in games, because you would think a team that's been to 7 straight ALCS would be great in clutch moments, mm-hmm. as they're described. They are garbage in those moments, and I have no explanation for it. And then factor in that the bullpen you're spending a lot of money on that you referred to, with whether it's Presley or it's Brian Abreu, who at least looked good last night, or it's Josh Hader, mm-hmm. who at least looked good, I guess, yesterday afternoon. You add those 2 up, and, you know, amazingly, the starting rotation depth is actually not much of an issue,
yeah.
comparatively.
Yeah, I think that what's most frustrating about this series is what you got from the rotation. Like, that's what's hard about, like, what's most, to me, most frustrating about this team is that I don't want to panic. You know, they're only 4.5 games back of the division. Like, it's still early. I know that every single day people love to tweet that no team has made the playoffs since blah, blah, blah with this record 20 games into the season. But you have Verlander coming back. You have Fromber coming back. You have all these guys. But the thing is that, like, coming off the Rangers series, when last week it was all about your starting pitching just getting dominated in the most embarrassing fashion possible, you put up 3 starts in which your starting pitching is plenty good. From mm-hmm. guys that you didn't expect because of how they performed recently. Eric Geddy, Brown, JP France, they did a great job, an incredible job versus the Atlanta Braves, and you failed to win a single one of yeah. those games.
I mean, that was what we were terrified about, and that's why when I asked, I think on, was it Thursday, Friday, when, or maybe it was Monday, I forget. I think it was before Monday's game, where I asked, hey, 3-2-1, how many games are the Astros winning in this series? And both you and Sean said, 1.
Mm-hmm.
We thought it was because the starting pitching was going to get shellacked.
Yeah.
The starting pitching was great these past
awesome.
3 games. Really, they were great. They did way more than anyone expected. Poor Spencer Arrighetti gets sent down after a really good start.
Oh, you know? Forrest Whitley, RIP.
Forrest Whitley, hey. Wasn't it terrible 2/3 of an inning?
And all I know is that I lost a bet for 2/3 of an inning. That sucks.
Man,
not really. I think. I guess I should have caveated that.
Joe George isn't going to be putting any money in that GoFundMe because someone sounds cheap.
Like, I guess I should have caveated that. Like, he has to pitch like 10 innings for the Astros.
Don't your way out of
an inning.
I know. He has to pitch a full inning for the Astros. Like, I lost that for nothing. All right.
Yeah, you just had somebody buy you a coffee.
No. I paid for that coffee.
He had it hand delivered.
He hand delivered.
Did you give him a tip?
I bought him a coffee.
Okay, but did you give him a tip? Because he also delivered it.
I'll get to that. That's a good point. I'll have to
walk
do that.
Over, walk over.
Did
with
you have
the
a plus 15% on your phone? Or what?
Just find a way to like. I'll just find this. I'll see if I can find some change in my car. All right. What are you most concerned about? You know, and there's just like the rotation. There are other things to still feel positive about. The world is not completely ending. That's next on Glant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Galante George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul and Joe.
Question here on the text line from the 832, or opinion, I guess. They should try to trade Presley for a couple relievers. You know, I'm not there yet, but I see the vision in which you text us from. It makes sense. You know, if you find a team that has a deeper bullpen but lacks like an elite closer, could
he's not
you
an elite closer? Who's going to trade for him?
I still wonder if it, like by the deadline, if people would view him as that way.
Still. Well, he has to pitch better. No one's looking at Ryan Presley an elite closer right now. You're not getting much in return for him. You would be getting the same kind of scraps that you traded in exchange for a Justin Verlander the first time around, or for a Gerrit Cole the first time around, mm-hmm. or for a Yordan Alvarez way back in the day.
Yeah, one of my biggest concerns with the Astros is that if trying to be positive and hopeful and back of the baseball cardy as they want to be, that like this is going to turn around, is what happens when it doesn't, or if it doesn't. And I don't know if I trust that this committee will allow Dana Brown to trade guys like Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker.
Well, normally, Joe, when people are saying something is going to happen and they're in a position of power and they keep saying it's going to happen and, you know, lie, well, generally they end up. Now, there's a variety of different things that can mean, and I mean fired. But I don't know that that's what's going to happen. I don't know that Jim Crane's so reactionary that he's going to blame Dana Brown or Joe Espada for the struggles right now.
No, but like if it stays this way, the most logical thing to do would be to reset your franchise.
And he did.
A little bit. Not a full reset, but just a tiny little bit.
A little reset. Jim Crane did do a reset in 2011.
Like don't do that, but like if you're not going to pay Bregman.
I'm saying he's not Jerry Jones where it's always like we don't want to fall all the way out. He has a ability to see in the long term and make moves for the long term. It's just he hasn't had to do it in a while.
I want to agree with you because he did it, but Jeff Luhnow told him to do that. My concern is that Jeff Bagwell and Craig Biggio and Reggie Jackson will tell him at the deadline if things don't get better that they're going to. That like next year, not trading Kyle Tucker before he eventually walks in free agency, not trading Alex Bregman before he for sure walks in free agency, they're going to try to convince, they're going to do the opposite of Jeff Luhnow. Jeff Luhnow said, dude, it's real bad here. We're going to really tear this thing down to the studs.
Clean it out.
And like really suck for a couple years. But trust me, I wonder if they're going to go in and be like, trust me, but you shouldn't.
Well, that's generally what boomers do, is kick the can down the road and not actually think about the future. So that's probably exactly what they'll do. Pushing back on something you said a little bit ago. Little reset? There's no such thing. What are you talking about? There's no such thing as a little reset. You reset or you don't. If they reset, if they move on from Alex Bregman, they move on from Kyle Tucker, they move on from Framber Valdez, they move on from those guys, whether it's by trade or they just let them walk, that is a hard reset. They are going to be bereft of significant amounts of talent that are not coming back up. And I get it. It's not like they're going to be the Oakland A's or anything like that. But, okay, Jose Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, Christian Javier, among others. You feel pretty good about that. But
sure.
No, there's no little reset. It's either you keep on trying to make this work and MacGyver your way towards being a contending team, just make the playoffs and figure it out from there, or you just get rid of everything and try to build back up the farm system again.
Okay, so my semantics here, I guess, or to explain myself better, the reason why I say little reset versus big reset is I'm not trading a single player that has a contract that I like. I'm not trading Yiner, Yordan, Altuve, obviously. Like, those guys, they're untouchable. They're still my core of when we're going to win again soon.
Yeah, it's the guy.
If you get to that point.
The guy, yeah, again, this is like if they're still like below 500 at the trade deadline. Like, this is where it's a situation where you're not resetting. Like, actually, the play on the field has reset it for you. That this team is so bad that you have no chance to, like, believe that you have a move to make or you have, a run to make in this season. Then it's like, well, Bregman's not going to help you next year when he walks and goes plays for the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
But you will not be competitive with anybody. You won't.
If they're already not competitive at the deadline. They're not competitive right now.
Okay, but then what's the end game if it's a half reset? You don't have the depth that the Braves have. You don't have the depth that the Orioles have. You don't have the depth that the...
You trade to get that depth.
Okay.
Yeah,
what are you trading?
You're trading Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, Framber Valdez.
You're trading those guys, though, for lottery tickets.
That's, you are. 100%.
Right. Yes. So,
but they have no lottery tickets.
There's no... Right, exactly. There's no half reset. You get rid of good players for theoretical talent.
Oh, like, I know.
It's a full reset.
It is. Their money wouldn't really change. Like, you'd lose, what, $30 million off Bregman's contract, like another, like, 15 from Presley or whatever he's getting made. So, like... You're not exactly going to have a wealth of money to spend this offseason to fix it.
No, you're in the luxury tax.
But it's just, you can't, if things are to happen to go this bad for the entire year, like, you can't operate with Kyle Tucker, Framber Valdez, and Alex Bregman the way you did with Carlos Correa and George Springer, because the team is showing you that you just can't.
It's also the case of, like, this team doesn't really have enough, like, good MLB players on it. Like, there's still a lot of depending on the Spencer, all this past week of depending on the JP Francis and Spencer Arrighetti's, and like, you're calling Forrest Whitley up to pitch in one game and then send him back down. Like, there's just not enough, like, quality innings on this team. It's a little bit of the Ryan Pressly situation of, like, just break this one player into two players that can play at a reasonable level. Or, like, that's kind of what they need.
Yeah. And King of Twitch says here, no Tucker trade, untouchable, left-handed five-tool player, needs to be signed yesterday. Totally agree.
I agree, but the problem is, it's going to be hard to do that because you're stuck with contracts for guys like, Jose Abreu and Ryan Pressly and Lance McCullers, and this year he's been good, Rafael Montero and Josh Hader. There's a lot of money that is going to guys who are going to get in the way of you re-signing the guy that is the obvious choice to actually be paying on this team. You're paying a lot of guys that aren't worth what they're getting paid.
Yeah, I would love for Kyle Tucker to be here for the long term. I just don't see it. I wish he could be, but I just don't see that contract getting done.
If you contribute to that Jeremy Branham GoFundMe, I mean, you can do your part. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my part.
978. Are the Astros the Warriors? No, because the Warriors have no future. Klay Thompson's going to be a free agent. Draymond Green really sucks, and Steph Curry is old and getting hurt again. The Astros, even if they had to have a bad year and make decisions that would be unpopular with the fans by trading popular players, they still have a young core that will win again.
They're also not the Warriors because the Warriors won 4 titles.
Touche.
Yeah, they don't. The Warriors don't have Yordan Alvarez. They don't have Yanner Diaz.
Yeah.
That's the difference. They have Jonathan Kuminga.
So you don't think Jonathan Kuminga is Yordan Alvarez, Sean?
No. He's, it's like Pena. McCormick.
Okay.
He's about that level.
All right, now look, we've been very negative. We've been very, because there's not a lot to be positive
about.
No,
there's so much to be positive about. You guys just don't believe.
And you know what? Now it's time.
But give me my hat.
To welcome in.
Give me my staff.
I was actually hoping you were going to have props today for this.
Soon. I'll buy some. I'll buy like a bishop hat.
The minister of positivity has arrived to Gallant and George.
Oh no, what are we going to do? The Astros are off to a slow start.
Maybe we got to fire Joe Espada.
It looks like the season's over.
Silence! I am the Astros minister of positivity. How dare you question the greatness?
Should I speak like that? It does sound a little panic man adjacent.
I think so.
Yordan Alvarez! Thought he was slumping? Not anymore, bitch! Ended an 0-for-11 slump with an opposite field homer. He doesn't do that very often. That's pretty cool.
There's a home run in one ballpark in MLB.
Hey, this is a positive time, Sean. Don't interrupt the minister.
I'm saying they're playing to a home field. which has an
silence. Jose Altuve, another multi-hit game. We like that. Best season of his career.
MVP. You can win MVPs in baseball and not be on the best team.
That's true.
Mike Trout told me that.
Silence. How dare you? Josh Hader struck out the side. I'm not even going to talk about what Joe Espada said about his job afterwards, because it would have been nice that he pitched the 10th, because that's not positivity. Guys, Rafael Montero, 1.8 ERA.
It's making that Paul Gallant guy look like an idiot.
Oh, that fool. How dare he question the greatness of Hall of Famer Jeff Bagwell and his baseball expertise. Didn't that guy play flag football at the 1A level of Massachusetts? Hashtag sop. Brian Abreu, he was better. 2 strikeouts in the 7th as the ERA's down to 6. JP France, not bad, guys. 5 innings pitched. I mean, the 2 home runs, they went far, but come on.
It was good. Solid. Great mustache.
I'm not even going to talk about how they shouldn't have pitched to Marcell Ozuna and the reigning MVP, who was doing a little do-si-do around third base like an a-hole. Should have thrown at him. They're about to play the Nationals, who are 8-10. The Cubs, who are 11-7, but Joe believes to be a hollow 11-7. And Colorado in Mexico. Colorado's 4-15. Offense is going to get back on track with the lower gravity in Mexico or whatever it is. Right? There's less gravity in Mexico.
Hey, I saw. I don't know if it's lower gravity or less gravity.
Oh. The ball goes farther. Okay, that makes sense. Lots of laser pointers there. You're going to have to watch out for those. Hey, swapping Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker in the order worked. They were 2-for-6 with 4 walks and 2 runs batted in.
Very good.
Everyone hates on Joe Espada. That seems like a pretty good move.
There you go, cupcake.
It's pumpkin.
Oh. Same thing.
Justin Verlander. He's back tomorrow. Huzzah! Framber Valdez. Very possible that he's back on the road trip. Lots of things to be happy and positive about. This has been your Astros Minister of Positivity.
2-1. It's mid-April. We have a whole rotation now, including our top 2 starters. What are we doing? Well, the starters weren't a problem the last 3-4
games.
That
person's being positive. He's being positive.
I do get surprised every time. I'm like, wow, it's only been 20 games.
Dude, that's
like, I don't mean to be it's only been 20 games guy. I mean this like genuinely. This season feels like they've already played 50.
Only an eighth of the way through.
It feels like they played 50 games.
That's how I feel too. Like it is 20 games, but it feels like this has been a season of suck.
Well, look, you know, more positivity if you want it to that texture's point. How many pitchers they used last year? 24. How many pitchers they've used this year? 23. And as Sean said, we're 20 games in.
That's crazy.
It does feel like it's been a lot longer.
How did they only use 23 last year?
Well, I mean, there are guys that are just popping up on the roster. You're right. Last year.
How'd they do that? Because they weren't like that healthy last year.
Yeah, they had some injuries. This year, guys are popping up. I'm like, who the hell is that?
And they're calling them up and sending them down.
Yeah, they're bringing like our boy Wander Suero. They're put him in the 10th inning of a game and then cutting him the next day. Like, it's just crazy.
And Blazer Henley? Blair. My bad.
I mean, Blazer might be a better name.
I know.
He might need to change his name now so like he can stop dogging on him.
If he gets an arm sleeve and comes up again as Blaze Henley?
Yeah, if he comes up as Blaze Henley, I'm in.
Couple
no
more
hitter.
Ticks on the fastball.
713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Larry, what's going on?
That these people are just being overly dramatic. I mean, we don't even have a starting pitcher. So we're basically putting the minor league pitchers up there. And also, you know, I mean, these Astro fans are acting like Patriot fans, very dramatic and soft. I mean, if I listen.
Seems like that was a shot at someone
dramatic
on the show.
Dramatic and soft.
Joe. Seems like that was a shot at
Astros,
Joe.
The Astros fans have been dramatic and soft.
They have been since 2019.
When things are good, you get accustomed to a certain level of living.
And honestly, they're all turning on each other, too.
The comparisons between Astros and Patriots fans, I actually agree with Larry's point there. because I've been to Minute Maid Park and it's like a wine and cheese crowd. Going to Patriots games towards the end of the run, I mean, again, wine and cheese crowd, always nervous energy until they finally like put a team away, and then everyone would get rowdy. So always quiet, lots of money people, people with money, they're going to these games now because the tickets are so jacked up and prices. I'm with him, but it's because we have a higher standard and we don't like the lower standard. You can't, once you go to the deluxe apartment in the sky, there's no one going back down to the lobby.
Yeah, and I
squat on that thing.
I'm trying to think who it was. I think it was like Day One Donna and Dr. Dre. I started talking about this the other day on Twitch, I think it was. Just like all the Astros fans that showed up after 2017. Like, they're the ones who are just abandoning the team now and really are not sticking through it. And to Larry's point about fans being dramatic and all that stuff, like, what do you expect? This is the worst start the Astros have had since 2013. Of course people are going to be a little panicky. Like, not everything can always be sunshine and rainbows. And Larry brought up the starting pitching, too. Starting pitching is not the problem.
It's not.
It was a problem for, like, it was the worst stretch of starting pitching we'd ever seen. Right?
Yeah, it's like a week where it was a problem.
Yeah, but there's weeks around that are not problems. So the starting pitching coming back, it does nothing for me.
Like the three games that they just played against the Braves, like, you got three starting pitching performances that you can win with. Like, you can win with what they gave you. If just the offense scores more runs, you win.
If you told us that's what we were going to get going into this three-game series, you would have taken that and run with it, especially with the offense scoring 8-plus runs over three games against a pretty good Texas Rangers team that maybe has a pitching issue of their own right now with all the injuries they are waiting for.
Yeah, they just called up their top prospect, Jack Leiter. He's giving up four runs in the second inning right now, the Detroit Tigers.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They're tied up again. So it is
they called up Blair Henley. Cool.
It's so different, like, seeing, like, these top prospects getting called, like, Jackson Holliday, Jack Leiter.
Where, like, the MLB account, like, tweets out a picture of them, and you're like, oh, wow. I remember when that used to be the Astros.
5-1-2, Astros have given up the most runs in the league. Maybe not starting pitching, but pitching is the problem.
Oh, yeah. The back
that
end
I do agree
the back
with.
End of the bullpen, like, it was supposed to be the best in baseball.
Yeah, collectively, so
it's
a problem.
The worst. It's that simple.
Yeah, and that kind of was what I was trying to say earlier was the beginning of the season, like, if the season starts and it was everything this offseason we thought about the middle relief was a disaster, and then Abreu came back, and then it was very quickly Abreu, Presley, and Hader were not good, and then that led pretty much into your starting pitching stretch, and then now you're back to the back end of the bullpen and close games being a disaster.
And now you can't hit.
Yeah, so to the Texas point, yes.
It's been a little bit of everything.
The pitching is a problem. I'm just not sure how Justin Verlander pitching for the Astros tomorrow night solves that.
You don't believe in the power of Kate Upton showing up, although it's not at Minute Maid Park, but Kate Upton on the road with that Astros jacket that all the broads,
dude,
all the broads love that jacket.
Yeah,
it's like the Taylor Swift Eras Tour jacket. You don't believe in the power of Kate Upton's return?
When I was working at Lids, that's when that jacket was hot every single day.
Oh, did you sell any on the black market?
No, I should have.
You should have, dude.
I should have been like
fell
you.
Off the back of the truck.
I should have like
like Sopranos.
Just taking some, just like these Texans helmets that got leaked again, which we'll get to a little bit later. We'll talk about them next because, you know, we haven't talked about the Texans yet. We got helmet leaks.
It's football time. It's Houston.
Can you have two alpha male wide receivers? We'll get to that next on Glanton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.